Also, I can continue with the testimony. Not only 6 months ago was I in a bad spot. This week, the doctor on my three-month checkup decided that I could leave all of the medications other than a baby aspirin. So the healing that God effectuated back then still is valid, and God is a good God always over us. We're going to continue on with the thought that we had last week, if you will. You call this part two on being an overcomer. And the reason for that is upon leaving last week, you could be really motivated, encouraged even, about being more than a conqueror in Jesus. And I want to emphasize that last phrase, because many times when we begin to just name something, we begin to stand up and we say, okay, I'm more than a conqueror, and I had everyone repeat with me, I'm more than a conqueror. At the same time, we need to be aware what that means, because the concept of what a conqueror is in the world is vastly different than the concept that God has of what a conqueror is. A conqueror in the world seems to be this very valiant and or even violent individual who goes out and is well trained in all of the arts of war and so forth. And we're not talking at all about that. We have to understand, like I put it into context just a few moments ago, in the concept of God's economy, without being with Jesus, in under Jesus and his blood, then we can never maintain and understand what it is to be more than a conqueror. Remember last week, we read this verse, and many of you repeated, I don't know why it's in, here you go, in Romans 8 and verse 37, it says, no, in all these things we are, we've emphasized that last week, that we are, now we hope to be, that someday if we try hard enough, we will be, but rather that we are more than conquerors. But what I want to look at is the last trailing phrase here, because Paul, writing to the Romans, gives us a quick informational note. And he says, through him who loved us. You cannot be more than a conqueror without Jesus. We looked at this verse last week, but what does it mean for us? And Paul understood what it meant because he was living that life out. Paul was the one who could say, I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. He understood the full context of what it meant to be more than a conqueror. He had already written in the letter, actually, that we just were reading there in Romans, we find that same book of Romans, Paul explaining to the Romans what it means in order to have a relationship with God. In chapter 10, he tells them that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, believing in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And so this is the context that we need to understand with regards to being more than a conqueror. Not everyone who goes to church, not everyone who even reads Paul's letter to the Romans automatically becomes more than a conqueror. And there are some with that misconception. There are some who think that because I'm here, that means, and I repeated the phrase, all it is a name it and claim it type of a relationship, and I am therefore more than a conqueror. Well, we can suffer from self-delusion as well. We need to understand what it means from God's perspective to be more than a conqueror. Because being more than a conqueror is a choice. It's a lifestyle. This last week, we were reading in the book of Revelation. How many love the book of Revelation? I love the book of Revelation. And if you will, please come and explain it to me. In Revelation chapter 12, one of probably my favorite verses found in the book, in verse 11 says, they triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. And so here we have they being the believers, those who are more than conquerors. The one that they are triumphing over is the devil, the dragon. And so when we put this into context, we begin to see what God's perspective is of a person who is a more than conqueror, if you will, an overcomer. They triumphed over him. And so God begins to give us the qualifications of what it requires, what's required of us to be that more than a conqueror. In this book of Revelation, Paul's statement is brought to life. If Paul could say, you are more than a conqueror through him, and now God, with this revelation that Jesus comes and gives to the Apostle John on the Isle of Patmos, here we find out the first of those details goes back to what Paul had said through him. While Paul was living out this, and his readers probably were living it out as well, doesn't mean that everybody that goes to church is living it out. Means that we have to be people who are under the blood of Jesus. We have Jesus in his blood having washed us clean of all of our sins. We are no longer held accountable for those sins because as that letter that I've already quoted for that Paul wrote to the Romans, we've confessed our sins. We believe in our heart. And so now Jesus and his blood is covering us over. The part that we play in this elite group of more than conquerors that we all want to be a part of, we all declared that we were a part of it last week, means that we, according to God's plan, always maintain our lives under the blood. We aren't more under the blood on Sunday than we are on Monday. We're not more under the blood 6 months after healing than we were 6 months before the healing. We are always under the blood of Jesus. It's an important step to understanding where we're at. And being under the blood is only a step, if you will. Because that verse that we just read, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. And then he says this one key word, and. How many love it when there's an and? You're perfect. And I love so much better than but, you know? When my wife says, you're doing great, but, you know, it sounds not nearly as quality as you're doing great and, you know, then I'm waiting for something good to happen, you know, and it's on top of this thing. And so this is where we are. When we have the blood of Jesus covering our lives, we understand what it means to have a new understanding of how we are to act, who we are to be. That's why he goes along and he says that we are those who are the ones that hold fast to our testimony. We are the ones that have overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. In Revelation chapter 20, the same book of Revelation, a chapter that you won't read until tomorrow, but it says in verse 6, blessed and holy are those who share in the first resurrection. The second death has no power over them, but they will be priests of God and of Christ and will reign with him for 1,000 years. We, the more than conquerors, will reign. And why are we able to reign? Because we have no fear of death. We have no fear. And you know what? The quality of being more than a conqueror is one that doesn't go into the battle a little bit worried, a little bit fearful. Those people are the ones that will never be more than a conqueror. These are the ones, according to the book of Revelation, are the ones that the second death has no control or fear over them. I remember they're in the emergency room, if you will, in the urgent care area, and they put me up on this very uncomfortable bed. If you've ever been there, you know what I mean. It was good that I was on a bed because there was one point for lack of oxygen that I passed out and with a heart attack and so forth 6 months ago. And I remember the staff trying to convince me to go in for this stint and angiogram and all of the stuff that they were saying that I needed to have. And I wasn't being convinced. They brought in a machine for showing an echocardio and this is what's happening inside and so on and so forth. And I remember stopping the emergency room doctor and telling him, you know what, I'm in pain. I wish the pain would go away, but the first things first, and I had to tell him about Jesus. I remember then when I was taken into the actual room where they were going to do the procedure. Now, I didn't know that the cardiologist had already met with the family and told the family what was going on, and the family had prayed with the cardiologist. But when the cardiologist came in, I told him the same thing, that first things first, I know where I'm going. If we delay and I end up dying in the process, it's not a big deal. But what is going to be a big deal is if he dies and doesn't make heaven his home. And I had to quickly tell him about Jesus as well. And so second death, the other death, death doesn't hold a fear for those who are in Christ Jesus, who have the blood of Jesus over us. Those who have the blood of Jesus can live fearless lives. And when I think about fearless lives, that's what we should entail. That should be part of the testimony that we have in all the world. We would be talking to people and they say, you know what, you're fearless. I love it. That's what we should do in all moments. Because John writes in his first letter, not the Gospel of John, but 1 John, in chapter 4 and verse 18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out, because perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. In other words, if we have the blood of Jesus over our lives, we know that our sins aren't held against us, we don't have punishment coming. So we could say like Paul, I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Death, to me, even 6 months ago, wasn't a fearful thing. Doesn't mean that I wasn't worried, perhaps, about my family and different details and the church and what was going to happen with these things that I felt were still left to do and so forth. But the fear of death wasn't really on the radar, because I know that it's just a blip and all of a sudden I would be with Jesus in heaven. Matter of fact, the doctors were encouraging me that I was going to be with Jesus. Well, they didn't say it that way. They said, you probably won't live to see tomorrow, is what they said. But the bottom line is that there's no fear when you have the blood of Jesus over us, because when we get to heaven, there's not going to be punishment being issued, but rather we're going to have the loving Savior telling us, well done, come on in, faithful servant, my family, because we show up with our certificate of adoption and we say, I'm coming home. Fearless people are impossible to stop. I remember multiple times when I was growing up in California with the different classes of history, reading about the suicide bombers at the beginning of World War II and being explained that when they left, they knew, because they weren't given enough gasoline to get back. They were only going to be able to go one direction. And so if you're going to die anyway, you might as well run your plane into a boat. You might as well finish the task. And they went out with no other options. And that's who we are. We are fearless when we serve Jesus and we know that death holds no sting for us. When we have the blood of Jesus covering our lives. The second part of that verse in chapter 12 of the book of Revelation says that they held tight to their testimony. They loved not. They were serving the Lamb. They were the ones that are more than conquerors, because they have already had the blood of the Lamb covering their lives and the word of their testimony. Now, that's not just the word that I give, but the word of the testimony that people outside were sharing about them. The word of their testimony was powerful. Paul even highlights this detail when he writes to both Timothy and Titus about the orchestration and the management of the church, that the elders should be people that are above reproach with a good reputation. This is something that we're talking about. I'm saying, I'm living it out, but at the same time, the other people are seeing it in me. These are the ones that are more than conquerors. These are the ones that are walking out their lives under every circumstance. In Revelation, the same chapter 12, just a few verses later, in verse 17, it says, then the dragon was enraged at the woman and went off to wage war against the rest of her offspring. Now notice, here's the great battle and what God's perspective is on once again. He says, those who keep God's commands and hold fast their testimony about Jesus. Who is the devil really worried about? He's worried about those who are, and we'll say it just like this, more than conquerors. He's not worried about your, as my youth pastor used to say, your mamby-pamby Christians. He's worried about those who have the blood of Jesus over them and they're maintaining their testimony. They're not going to give up. They're not going to back down. Later on in chapter 19 of the book of Revelation, verse 10, at this I fell at his feet to worship him. Who's falling? This is John going to worship another angel. But what does the angel say? But he said to me, don't do that. I am a fellow servant with you and with your brothers and sisters who hold to the testimony of Jesus. The great angels, if you ever imagine Michael the archangel showing up, I mean, you know, when people imagine Michael showing up, what do? That looks scary. I mean, this is one of the main angels. But what he's saying, the angel is saying, I am just one who holds fast to the testimony. We qualify in God's economy like the big archangel, just ready to go. Because nobody, nothing is going to be able to stand in our way. He says, worship God, for it is a spirit of prophecy who bears testimony to Jesus. When we are living out our testimony, everything we do is a prophetic word back to the world. Sometimes we open our mouths in prophecy as well, but our lives live out the truth that Jesus is the only way. And those lives have to be the same all the time. Notice how important it is to God that we hold on to our testimony. We have to be the same on Sunday as we are on Monday. Now, that doesn't mean you go to the same building. It doesn't mean that you put the same clothing on. It doesn't mean that you necessarily eat the same foods and you're doing and going about doing the same thing. But our testimony is the same. People see us for who we are. We need to be the same, whether we're in behind a pulpit on a Sunday or we're laying on a gurney in the emergency room in a hospital. We are the same individuals, and we share the same testimony because our testimony, the word of our testimony, is not just what we say, but what we do and who we are living, how we are when we're living, and what others say about us. The key comes at the very end of the verse. Remember how the verse says they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of the testimony, and they loved not their lives so much as to shrink from death. They weren't worried about dying. That is impacting. Their lives are those that impact. Why? Because always God has expected and wanted the same thing. What did he want? From the very beginning, and we call the first five books of the Bible the Pentateuch. And Moses wrote those books. So pretty much the beginning from Genesis, when we get all the information of creation and so forth, the same person put those to pen. All right? And so from the very beginning, we could understand from God's beginning of explaining who he is, Moses writes in the law, in Deuteronomy 6:5, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. Well, that means that our testimony and being passionate about God was God's plan and his need from the very beginning. Well, I say that from the very beginning. But, you know, there are some of us, and I won't mention names, but there are some of us who are specialists in changing their minds. I have a daughter. I didn't mention a name. Who says, it's my prerogative as a woman I'm just saying. She learned it from her mom. All right? I can say, we're going to do this, right? And she says, no. Well, that's what we said on Saturday. Well, today's Sunday. You know, I mean, things change. So perhaps God has also changed his mind, that his priorities have changed. And so years later, now in the New Testament, Jesus is asked the question, so what's the most important? And in Luke chapter 10, we read in verse 27, he answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind. And now all of a sudden Jesus adds to it, love your neighbor as yourself. Now, that's not, some of you might think that that's because Jesus knew how hard it was to love Pastor Gary Neighbor. He had to make a special law just to tell you to love me. But that's not the case. What Jesus is actually doing is highlighting the same thing, because if we are to love the Lord, our God, with everything that we are, our natural desire is that others would want to do that as well. Loving our neighbor as ourself means that, and here we are on Missions Sunday, the second Sunday of each month. Pastor Neto highlighted the fact and so forth. And we send missionaries around the world. You yourselves are testifying. Why? Because of your love for your fellow man. All of this is because we want them to also love the Lord, their God, now, with all of their heart, mind, soul, and strength. God's plan is to have an army of overcomers, an army filled with more than conquerors, and that hasn't changed since creation. God wants us to be those people who are so passionate about him that we want everybody else to be passionate as well. That's what he's calling on us to do and who we're called to be. People loved God with everything and loved people enough to make sure that they have an opportunity to hear about Jesus. That's who we are when we are more than conquerors. It's not that we know how to use a sword. It's not that we know how to use the guns. It's not that we've been military trained. It means that we have nothing to lose because we've already given up everything for the name of Jesus. We walk out with the confidence because we are covered with the blood of the Lamb, and we carry with us permanently etched into our hearts our certificate of adoption as part of the family of God. And we maintain that style of living. We are so passionate about God that everyone we come in contact with knows that that's the case. It's not something that we forget to put on. It's something that we are always living out because we have held fast to the word of our testimony. And when we're going about that, we are those who have nothing to lose. We don't love our lives so much as to shrink from death. We are the ones that God could send out on a one-way suicide mission if he needs to, because we have nothing to lose. Only God gets the glory. So who are the overcomers? We are the ones who are more than conquerors because we have given our lives. And notice, I put it in bold here. We have given our lives both here and for eternity. We're going to be the same today here as we will be for an eternity. And you know what? In eternity, I'm going to tell you, you're not going to worry about a lot of the things that the world worries about right now. As a pastor, I have been approached with certain questions that you have to just kind of scratch your head. You know, like, Pastor, can you tell me for sure if my pet is going to be with me in heaven? Is there going to be golf in heaven, Pastor? I've had these questions asked. And you're laughing because you're the ones that have asked the questions. No.
I don't know what your answer is.
Here's the thing. The things that are important to us here or to the world here aren't going to be as important. How important is it to go and slice a golf ball? You can tell how I play. When you have the opportunity to be in front of Jesus, it's just not going to, there's not going to be the draw. Why? I mean, there's not going to be people that are going to be making jewelry because there's an excess of gold. You know, it's just why? Why? What we're going to have our hearts consumed with is Jesus. And that's how we are to live today as well. Be completely consumed with Jesus. So we've given our lives both here and for eternity to Jesus, and no one or nothing can ever change our minds or make us second guess that decision. That, my friends, is who those are who are more than conquerors really are. So rather than stepping up and calling it out like we did last week, now it's time to step up and live it out. That we go out these doors living a life of more than conquerors, according to God's plan, not loving our lives so much as a shrink from death, living for Jesus everywhere that we go. Amen? Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for these that are here, and that we have one focus, one thing on our minds. Like those Japanese suicide bombers who left with only one goal, there's only one thing we want: more of you, Jesus. We want to obey you on every front, and nothing will ever dissuade us from that goal. So, Lord, I pray that you would challenge and stir us up, that every day we would become more and more passionate about you, more and more reflecting the image of a more than conqueror. Lord, that those things would become a part of our DNA. You'd be a part of the makeup of every one of us. That we wouldn't just talk about being more than conquerors, but that we would serve you in such a way that you say we are the ones who are overcoming by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, loving not our lives so much as to shrink from death. We thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. 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 God bless you. Look forward to seeing you here on Wednesday at 11 a.m. for Bible study.